Dr. Clendenning, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, the Michael Labersi. How are you this morning, man?
Tip top, baby. Taking my steps two at a time. All right. So I got a hot topic for you today. We've been hearing it a lot, and I feel like it's a crucial mindset piece to bad economy, massive layoffs, pivoting and positioning, and plan while it's high to prep for when it's low. And I don't know about you, buddy, but I've been hearing a lot of the economy's bad. I've been hearing a lot of sort of excuse mindset. I don't think that's valid. I don't think the economy's bad. I think people's plans are bad. I think preparation's bad. Sure, the economy might be bad. Somebody's making money somewhere. Some industry's popping off, maybe not as much. But what do we expect? We're going to bellyache when it goes bad, pound our chest when it goes good. I don't know. What do you think? When you hear me talk about the economy and how that's impacting people and how that's impacting business, and then that's how impacting life, what do you think?
Well, I think pretty much the episode is over because you totally listed all the things that are going on. It's absolutely true, Mike. Yes, we're hearing it, and I'm hearing it in two different ways. Right. And I say that because I'm hearing it as an excuse, like you said. You know, people are just using it as an excuse to lay down and die, you know, not do the work, not do the thing. And there's a complacency around this using it as an excuse. Right. You just don't want to go. There are times I'm going to use the real estate market as an example, because I'm hearing a ton of this. I mean, I still coach a lot of brokerages. And we're doing stuff in the market right now too. So in real estate, the market is cyclical, period. It is cyclical. We're in the fourth quarter right now. Historically, the real estate market is lagging in the fourth quarter every single year. This is not news. This is not brand new stuff that's coming out. This happens every single season. And yet most agents and most brokerages are surprised by it. Oh my gosh, all of a sudden the market's down. No, like, look at your trends, figure it out. It was down last year in the fourth quarter, it was down the year before that in the fourth quarter. In the 50s, it was down in the fourth quarter. This is just how it goes. So like, to your point, people are not planning for it. You know, individuals are not planning for it. Businesses are not planning for it. And then they're reacting. You know, there's this reactive thing instead of looking at what's going to happen. You know, what happens in my business cyclically? Obviously, I'm using real estate as an example, but this is relative to any business. Your business has a seasonal cycle every year. Nobody's business runs at 10,000 widgets every single day, period, all the time. There's variation, there's fluctuation. It looks like a sine wave. Your business moves, and there's reasons for it. If you're not, the reason you go, oh my God, it's the economy is suddenly bad, it's because you don't know your business. It's because you don't know what is the actual causality of this cycle of what's going on in here. So now you're reacting. I had a conversation with a senior executive yesterday that we were talking about its strategic planning season, as it should be. If you're running a standard calendar year, right now is when you're doing your strategic planning for next year. That's true. You're running fiscal year, you're doing that stuff in July and August. So two different times, but right now they're planning for the 2026 year. And we're having this conversation and I'm listening to how she's talking about it. She looks at her numbers every single morning. First thing she does, 8 o'clock in the morning, click, checks the number about what's going on. And then she asks, I wouldn't say the wrong question, but a question relative to this. She asks the question, well, what caused that? Okay, well, it's not a bad thing. It's fine to understand that, but she failed to ask the next question. The next question is, what do we need to do so that 90 days from now, this is what the number is? Because anything you do today in your business that you do today doesn't take effect for 90 days. You can't affect the number that already is. So I know I'm totally going off the rails on that about what, you know, but to your point, it's
slightly, but I like it.
It's reactionary, right? That's the moral of the story is everybody's looking at it and they're like, oh my God, the economy is bad today. Like it's news. Like, it's a brand new thing. And to Mike's point, people are making money. There's business to be had in every single economic up or down. Does not matter. How is your business positioned? How are you setting yourself up to pivot? How are you going to swivel? How are you going to move?
Where are your cash reserves? What do you do when you're making money hand over fist? And like, we have a friend of ours that sort of has this, okay, feast or famine type economy and revolves around the real estate market. And apparently the feast is so big that the famine is also so big and there's no middle ground. And let me just tell you something here. When I was just starting out in my early days, and I was getting paid by people. I went from being paid session by session to then blocks. Well, two things you never get paid on a verbal commitment. You get paid when you get paid. And then when you get paid in any amount, let's say it's $100 or $1,000, you've got to immediately have some sort of discipline where, and we all lose this a little bit, where you're not creating a paycheck to paycheck or invoice to invoice type revenue stream. There's got to be a cushion. And the reason why there's a cushion is mental, because you want to be conservative in some areas, aggressive in others, but you can't sustain if you're playing catch up. And if you've overplayed your hand, which we all do, don't get me wrong. If you've overplayed your hand, you're going to get bit, and you're going to eventually, in the, we'll call them low times, right? You're going to be spending more time playing catch up than you actually are thinking your way out of the box. And you're amplifying your stress, which is taken away from your health. It's taken away from your life, and it's taken away from your livelihood, right? So, you know, my theories are, okay, great. Do you have multiple streams of income? Are you in different areas? I realize there's a big thing out there, the side hustle. Do more of your main hustle, less of your side hustle. Sure. But positioning, if you're in two different industries and you have a side hustle in a different industry, and then you have a main hustle, well, guess what? If one drops a little, hopefully the other one picks up. Now, if all 18 of your side hustles are in the same industry, well, guess what? In that case, yeah, definitely make your main hustle, your main hustle, if I made any sense there. So there's that diversification piece, but there also has to be a mentality. And I don't know whether it's headlines, clickbait.
It is.
People don't seem to.
And the answer is yes.
They don't seem to plan for the downturn. It's almost like I'm going to echo you. Like, why would a downturn be shocking to people? Why wouldn't you, the second you hear the administration is laying off 10,000 people or a million people or 100,000 people, why wouldn't you all of a sudden realize, oh, bingo, in 6 months from now, it's going to have a huge ripple effect in the way things are going, and then start preparing? Everyone's laying off people. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. How are you preparing for that? Where are you in your life, and where are you in your good times that you're prepared? So as we move on, let's get tactical a little bit here, and let's go deeper into a couple other examples of economic mindset. How does somebody shift? Let's say their back's already against the wall. How does somebody shift from being in this, oh man, I obviously didn't plan. I'm obviously in this crazy headspace. How do I get out of this headspace? How do I anchor down? How do I find a way through? And let's talk about that.
Yeah. So there's, we'll go more tactically even past that. This is a simple answer. And everybody's going to go, well, duh, Jake, I'm feeling super simple. Well, if you're saying that about it, you're not doing it. Like, that's where I'll call everybody out on this one. The simple answer is you've got to change the way that you react to it, right? You've got to change the way that you react to a circumstance. Yes, we can get to a point to where we're pre-planning. That's the next step. The first thing is you've got to change what you're doing in your reaction. instead of a, you know, let's use layoffs as the example that Mike's using. You have two ways to approach this. And there's always the pity party. It's fine. But there's a, you get laid off and you're going to ask the standard questions that most people do. Give yourself some grace here because it's true. It's just where we are in the universe. Why did this happen to me? Why am I surprised by it? I never saw this coming. It's a little bit of victim scarcity mentality that we get stuck in the pity party. Fine. Throw the pity party. You're allowed 5 minutes. That's it. Set the timer, throw the pity party, get over it. Then you have to switch. This is where you've got to make the decision, the choice to switch. And it's relatively simple. You have to then go, okay, what can I do? Has nothing to do with the past. We have to throw the door down and go, fine, door's closed on that part of my universe. You can't sit around and go, God, I'm broke. How am I going to pay my mortgage? Where am I going to get blah, 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 blah? Because you bury yourself. You just bury yourself. Don't do it to yourself. You don't have to help the universe to bury you. All you have to do is turn the corner and say, all right, what can I do? What's my next step? What can I do right now? Where can I go? How do I make this work? Be proactive in the way that you approach and talk to yourself. That's the simple switch. How do we get out of that mindset? Does it require a decision? Yes. The other piece is call us. Like if you're having like massive struggles and you cannot get out of your head, reach out to me, reach out to Michael, hit us on social media. We will help you reset in that moment. If we're not going to do it, if you don't trust us to do it, call somebody, reach out. Don't sit there by yourself. That's the dumb part. Like it's super simple, and don't call somebody and unpack that baggage. I got laid off. I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. No.
Yeah.
Call them and go, I need help. I need to move forward. How do I do it? I need you to help me do it. That's going to make the switch. It's a mental game in this piece. Would you agree with that? Does that seem reasonable? Anything you want to add to that?
I mean, yeah, I agree. You know, listen, I like the pity party. I like actually, I like creating either, not everybody's healthy enough to move or do some exercise. So I'm going to give you a framework that I like to use. Got to get out of your head. We got to put everything on pause. Hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 5 hours, doesn't matter, right? Depending on the level of severity of the situation. You've got to leave the situation. Meditate, walk, work out, yoga, go to a bar, get drunk, watch television, put on a movie, put on a show that's entertaining, you know, go watch 6 episodes in a row of The Blacklist. Go figure out a show that's on a streaming platform. You can sit down and evacuate your mind. You can get into something else that's not you. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, do the healthy things, do this, do that. Yeah, sure. That's the textbook answer. But here at Total Disruption, we're on the street and we're doing things that are actually apply. If somebody's in their head and they're physically limited in what to do, that's a whole other coaching session. But, you know, go throw on some Netflix, man. Binge it, right? Go get out of there, right? Go listen to some motivational things. Then I know you always say hope is not a strategy, but you have to pair hope with a little bit of an action plan. You have to arrest the situation you're
in. That's the trick, yeah.
And then take action. And you know what? You've got to get past that fear. Because when you take the action, it's not going to work right away. It's just not. It's going to take a minute to redirect momentum. It always does. And living in the not knowing is the worst possible thing somebody could potentially be in. And the only two things that get over the fear of not knowing, the first thing is avoidance and procrastination. That is a definite solution, not what I recommend. Two, pushing and taking action. Both require discipline because both require you stick to the plan. If you're procrastinating, you've got to stick to procrastinating and deal with that stress. If you're taking action, you've got to stick with that immediate gut-wrenching regret and fear every step you take of what else am I going to uncover? What else is going to go wrong here? So it's a catch-22. But if you're in business and you want to get out of the situation you're in, and you've already taken the steps to leave, you might need to leave a situation 15 times a day for the first 5 days. You know, there's no script here, people. You know, you may not have the attention span or the bandwidth to stick with fighting or to stick with procrastinating for more than 10 minutes at a time. So what? I mean, you could say do state changes and smash your chest and breathe and walk around and do jumping jacks and change your state. You can do all that you want. Not everything applies to everybody. The reality is you are going to face situations that are bigger than you, that you don't have the attention span to deal with longer than 10 minutes. And that's just the way it is. As long as you keep dealing with them, though, because it's going to happen one way or the other. The situation you've put yourself in is not going to change unless you change it. So let's talk about reaching out to us, Jake. So what do you want people to do here?
You know, easiest way, grab us on social media. That's probably where you're watching us right now. Grab us on social media, DM either one of us, DM the Total Disruption channel. We will get it. We'll reach out to you. That's easy. You want to go via longer channels, you can go through the website and you can email us. You can find us there. If you're not getting a hold of us, you're not trying. Like that's totally what I'm going to say about that is like, we're available. Plain and simple. You can find us. My executive assistant, who's amazing, will make sure that I get those messages. If you want me to respond right now, like it's okay to put subject line, all caps, emergency, please reach out. just do it. Like there's no reason not to. And if, like I said, if you're not reaching out to us, reach out to somebody else. You know, make sure you are connecting with somebody. You know, we talk about this a million times. You are a product of the five people you spend the most time around. If you're going to go sit in a circle with five people that are all pissed off, it's not going to get you out of that rut. You've got to get, you know, to Mike's point, you know, go to the gym. Great. Go to the gym. Maybe put your headphones in and get out of your head for a while. But go like get around people who are doing cool stuff, that are doing fun things, that are like motivated and optimistic and going places. Get around them because it's going to change your energy and move you too. So Mike's point, and that he called me out on something a little bit, and I do say it all the time, and I should adapt it, is hope by itself is not a strategy, because he's right. You need to combine hope with action. That is 100% right. I love that he said that. I'm probably going to amend my quote just a little bit in that to make sure that that resonates, because it's true. That's absolutely right. We can resonate with this layoff thing and cyclical markets. We know it, we see it. We expect it in the fourth quarter. Some of it from, you know, like for us, it's fairly simple. We watch our numbers slide. We watch our viewership go down a little bit during the holidays. And we know that it's because that, well, I'm going to speculate. Let's say we know. I'm going to speculate it's because our viewership is unplugging from their businesses. They're unplugging from the personal and professional development space to spend time with their families. They've worked hard the entire year. They've dug in. They've done the stuff. They want to dink around during the holidays, take their vacations, go skiing, sit on the couch, eat turkey and drool, whatever your thing is.
Can't wait.
I know. I'm so looking forward to that. So our viewership slides a little bit. We know that that is true. We know it's just going to happen. There's no reactionary, oh God, what do? We create new this? Do we this? And we bounce and we do new things. Yeah, we're building stuff and we're thinking about stuff and we're working on things, but it's all first and second quarter related. We know that it's not going to take place till first or second quarter because that's when viewership comes back up and we know to react to it. I want to go back to the feast and famine. I want to go back to that. I don't want to leave that one lay there, you know, for this last few minutes of this. There is, everybody knows who Dave Ramsey is. Everybody knows who it is. He promotes probably the single most un-American theology known, and it is live within your means. That is, there is nothing out there on pick your commercial, pick your marketing, pick your campaign that says, don't buy the thing. There's nothing out there that says that. So like to the point of this feast and famine thing, so many of us don't understand how to manage money. We don't know how to deal with it. We don't know how to use it. You see it all the time. Millionaires that just won the lottery are bankrupt in 3 months because they've never managed their money well anyway. So they have no idea. It's not that all of a sudden you have $1 million, you're going to know how to manage it better.
What a nice windfall that would be. I mean, it's like if you could just win the lottery and be one of the smart people with the money, it would be amazing, right?
I look at that all the time, and I don't play lottery. I don't play Powerball, and there's no, I should just for fun because I look at that. I watch as I'm watching my investments, right? And I look at them pretty much every day. I'll look at Robinhood of where I'm playing with some money. I'll look at Acorns where I'm playing with some money. I'll look at RealBricks where I'm playing with some money, some different tools I have that I have a dashboard I can watch every day. Morgan Stanley's another one that I'll look at. And I look at that and I'll see something happen and I'm like, man, if I won the lottery and I had $1 million, I'd throw it right there. Like I'm looking at it, you know, it's not I'd buy a new truck, I'd buy a new tractor, I'd buy this, I'd buy that. That's all part of my budget. That all lives in where it is. I know where that, when that money shows up, I'm going to buy the thing that I need for when I'm going to do it. But that massive windfall money, like I'm not putting that in my personal account. That would be nuts. I might do something splurge and stupid. Like I'm going to give myself permission to do that. And take a trip to Africa for 30 days or something. That would be super swanky and blow $100,000 because I will never have the opportunity to just blow $100,000. But I'm going to take the other 900,000 and I'm going to roll it into like whole life insurance policies for infinite banking, or I'm going to roll it into some sort of an investment that turns around. I mean, I could retire today on $1 million. Like there's totally a pathway to do that. And it's an investing. It's not upgrade the house. It's not upgrade this. It's not upgrade that. So it's about dealing with how to do it. So when we talk about this feast or famine, it comes down to once you make the change, this is a moment the universe, whatever your belief is like, if all of a sudden you're in famine and you're broke and you're scared, the universe is smacking you around again, saying you didn't learn the lesson last time. Learn it this time. So that's an opportunity for you to go, great. Apparently I'm being told to scale my lifestyle back. I need to scale it back so that I'm living within the means of famine. Like if I'm living at famine, imagine how much money I have at feast. All this extra to invest in my business, to invest in my wealth, to invest in my future retirement. Like instead of I'm living at feast, I'm showing off, I'm doing the big, big stuff. And we're all guilty of it, guys. We are all guilty of it. Been here, done that.
Right.
Think about that. So it's reset. And I'm going to use the dirty six-letter word that we all need to have. Everybody needs to have it in their personal life. Everybody needs to have it in their business. And everybody needs to follow it. The dirty six-letter word that we all just about throw up in our mouth a little bit. A budget. Ugh. Everybody hates that word. Here's the reality of a budget. A budget is just a roadmap of money in, money out. That's a profit and loss statement for your business. That's a household budget. You know what you can spend. It doesn't get you in trouble. Live within your means. Like I don't get paid by Dave Ramsey, and I'm not a huge Dave Ramsey fan on the face of it, but it applies here. Like there's some theory that works to get you there.
Well, I agree with you there, man. And living within your means and staying within your means, and don't adjust your means until you've got a track record of being able to adjust your means. Because if you want to adjust your means, adjust your earnings, right? So there's the other piece. And there's nothing to qualify somebody chasing money. There's nothing to qualify somebody who wants a certain lifestyle, go for it. And if you want the certain lifestyle, own it.
You gotta have a certain work ethic.
Fake it till you make it is only it only applies to people on the precipice. And if you're nowhere near the precipice, you can fake it till you make it mentally. And you can fake it till you make it buying, you know, fake watches and reasonable cars that are a few model years older. And you can absolutely economically still be in a realm that puts you at a look that you want and a feel that you want. Again, it all depends on the circles you're swimming in, right? Certain people are in certain environments where, hey, you know, that's all important. They're hanging out where their baseline is higher than other areas. You know, you're in Montgomery County, Maryland. You know, you're in Rochester, New York. You're in Manhattan. You're in Brooklyn. Well, guess what? You're in a different bracket. There's not a lot of paupers walking around, right? And there's some basic glimmer going on, and there's just stuff that's people's new normal. It is what it is. So if you're in those environments, you know, and you're trying to press, well, that's on you, right? Either change your environment or change your work ethic. I think we covered a ton, dude. We're out of time today. Why don't you guys tune in for our next episode of Total Disruption, coming at you multiple times a week, multiple different types of platforms, YouTube, social media, E360 TV, Spotify. We're on Apple. We are everywhere you want to be. You can see us if you're on the video platforms. You can hear us if you're on the audio platforms. We're here for you. Total Disruption. So on behalf of Dr. Jake Clendenning, I'm Michael Liberace, and we are signing off. And now it is your turn to disrupt.